We're living in a different day. I heard some modern preachers say, you just can't sing or preach anymore the way they did before. It was old-fashioned singing, old-fashioned preaching that got my attention, got me to thinking about the way I was living and where I would be if the cold hand of death laid hold on me. The Holy Spirit used it, drew me to Calvary and showed me how Jesus died in my place. With my heart I believed it, by faith I received it. That's how I got saved. It's not education, not organization, but faith comes by hearing God's holy word. It's not about style or the methods we choose. It's all about Christ and the truth. It was old-fashioned singing, old-fashioned preaching that got my attention, got me thinking about the way I was living and where I would be if the cold hand of death laid hold on me. The Holy Spirit used it and drew me to Calvary and showed me how Jesus died in my place. With my heart I believed it, by faith I received it. That's how I got saved. It was old-fashioned singing, old-fashioned preaching that got my attention, got me to thinking about the way I was living and where I would be if the cold hand of death laid hold on me. The Holy Spirit used it and drew me to Calvary and showed me how Jesus died in my place. With my heart I believed it, by faith I received it. That's how I got saved. In my heart I believed it, by faith I received it. That's how I got saved.
All right. I got a word of testimony. Praise the Lord real quick before we get started.
They was all right, wasn't it, Brother Jerry? Amen.
Amen. All right, then. Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Kim.
Anyway, no, I'm thankful that, I'm watching God do some things in their life, and it's a privilege to be a part of that. Just this week, you know, after the message last Sunday, you know, someone made a decision to answer the call, and
Amen.
One of them told me that they wanted to answer the call to put God first.
Amen.
And got rid of some stuff in their life. And, man, that blessed my heart. When I saw that, sitting there in my office and I saw it, man, they probably thought it's crazy because I shouted a little bit. But, man, I just want everybody to know that, man, that God's working in our youth department.
Yes.
And I'm blessed to be a part of it. Pray for our teenagers. You know, they got a whole big different set of problems to deal with than what we have, especially in this time and this day. And to see them take stands God in the middle of these storms, mm-hmm. in the middle of these troubles, man, it challenges me.
Amen. Amen. Miss Teresa?
I've been wanting to wait a minute.
Amen.
I don't even want any more cable stuff.
Amen. That's good.
That's just negative.
Amen. That's good. Praise the Lord. Anyone else, real quickly? Brother Dwayne? That church up here at Longview and 30, it's a non-denominational church. Anyway, that the preacher come down here today just to visit with me, just to get to know me or what have you. And pink shirt, wearing shorts. But anyway, he come to see me, and he shared with me that this. If you go this way home, that little church right there before the river, before the creek, the Episcopal place on down. That Church of the Holy Apostles or whatever that's called. He's telling me, he said, they lost their building. I said, what happened? He said, evidently, whoever was in charge there was taking a stand against this homosexual movement. And the building belonged to the organization. It belonged to the denomination. And they kicked them out. And so just kind of a sign of the times, man. Aren't you glad we're independent Baptists? Praise God. Amen. You know, that's I think that's scriptural. Praise the Lord. All right. Joshua chapter number 5 tonight. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter number 5. Joshua chapter 5. I've often alluded to this truth here. But tonight I'm going to preach on this thing for the first time since I've seen it. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It will be in two parts. I'll do part of it tonight, and then when we get together the next Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday, we'll have a missionary here, and so it'll probably be the following Wednesday. All right, Joshua chapter number 5. Are we there? Verse number 10. We'll begin reading. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho." And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the Bible says here that the manna ceased. And that right there is where the manna stopped coming to them. The Bible says it ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And the Bible says that Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." The Bible says that Joshua did so. Here is Joshua, the new leader of the nation of Israel. And going into, he's right up there by Jericho. You know, Jericho is that city that they're introduced to immediately when entering into this land of promise. And there's no doubt this man, this man of faith, this man of God, is no doubt under a load of stress, under a load bearing the burden, if you will, of a nation. Burden of a nation, bearing the burden of an enemy. He is as well, has the burden of responsibility and obligation, and the burden of a city with great walls, a city that by all indications is absolutely impenetrable. And yet if they are to dwell in the land of promise, they must overcome this great obstacle. You know, I'm reminded when I consider what all is here. I'll probably allude to it later on, but I see Joshua there in verse number 13. He was by Jericho, and probably in his mind, he's walking out by the sides of that city and looking up at that great city that's now it's shut up. We see in chapter number 6 because of the Israelites. He's walking around and looking and probably thinking in his mind, how are we going to do this? How are we going to accomplish this? And I'm reminded of those battles that you and I face in our lives. They very much resemble that mighty city, seeming unbearable obstacles that lay before you and I. With their great high walls and fortified, if you will, by popular opinion of the day, they lay before us, and we see our limited ability to do very much about it. I see that in this Joshua. I see that as he stands there and in his human intellect and he gazes upon that great obstacle. It can leave us feeling helpless and hopeless and in need of understanding as to what we are to do. And I believe that this was the plight of Joshua. Remember, Joshua was a great leader and a great man of God. But at the same time, he was just a man. He was just an individual. He's just flesh and blood. Though he may have trusted God, he was one of the two spies that was for the children going in. They recognized that God would give them the land. But no doubt, here in this state of mind, with all the thoughts passing through all the thoughts going on in his mind, though he loved God, though he trusted God, though he knew that God had established him as the leader thereafter Moses had died, he was still limited to his own ability. One day as Joshua was out staring, if you will, into the eyes of his Jericho giant, there in verse 13, when Joshua was by Jericho, the Bible says that he looked, and lo and behold, there stood a man with his sword drawn, standing against him. Behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. I imagine these things in my mind. Joshua's probably just going along, maybe looking at various aspects of that great city, what ways to attack it, ways to come maybe from the left, or north, or south, east, or west, and whether it be up high or down low, or right through the main gates, and possibly through windows that maybe could be knocked out, or whatever the case might be, to be able to penetrate that city. And as he's going along with his focus on that, lo and behold, there's somebody standing right in his sight there. Not just standing, but standing with his sword drawn. And as he looks upon that individual, he no doubt, Joshua, as a Joshua, not recognizing who this individual was, ran toward him. And as a soldier, as a warrior himself, Joshua understood that a drawn sword meant a readiness to fight. And thus I could see Joshua as he runs toward this man with his sword drawn, Joshua beginning to pull his sword out of his sheath. And standing before this man, Joshua asked a very, very pointed question. The Bible says that Joshua went unto him in verse number 13 and said unto him, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" You see, in Joshua's mind, there were only two sides. In Joshua's mind, that man was either on my side or on the enemy's side. So the question to him was, are you for us or for our adversaries? Are you on our side or are you on the side of our adversary? There's only two sides. His side, Joshua's side, or the enemy's side. But the response of the sword-drawn soldier introduced Joshua and introduced to us as well a third option. A third option. You see, the response of the angel there, the response of that man in verse number 14 said, "Nay, I'm not for you, and I'm not for your adversary. I'm not for you, and I'm not for your adversary." The man responded to Joshua that as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? The third option was God's side. To Joshua was a great truth revealed and an all-important question relayed. To Joshua, in the response of that angel, in the response of that sword-drawn captain of the host of the Lord, in that response is a revealed truth and an all-important question. The truth is that the options available are not limited to me or to my enemies. You know what, child of God? The options available to you are not limited to you or your enemies. The options that are available to us, not just whether it's about me or about the enemy. There was a third option, and that is God's side. And the angel declared, "I'm neither for you nor for your adversary. I am here on behalf of Almighty God." Amen. Thus the indirect question presented to Joshua was, not am I on your side, not am I on your enemy's side, but are you on God's side? Are you for God? Are you for God? And it's this question that I want to kind of teach on a little bit or preach on, whatever the Lord would have, because it is a very fascinating question. It's a very fascinating question. Sometimes we want God to be on our side. We've got our plans. We've got our goals. We have our intellect. We have our wisdom. We have our experience. We have what we see and what we've learned. And we're traveling down our road. And often in our travel, we invite God to come along and be with us. The truth of the matter is, we need to determine where God is and get with Him. And get with Him. I've often said that because that's what happens when we're walking down our road and our philosophy is to try to encourage God to come and be with us. Maybe we pray, maybe we seek Him, maybe we worship Him, and we're trying to, if you will, woo God to come and go with us. But if God determines not to go with us, we're going to do our own thing anyway. And that's going to lead us into a place of death and destruction. But if we could determine where God is, And then from that point, we don't ask God to come on our side. We understand the wisdom in placing ourselves on God's side to be with Him. And that's what this angel of the host of the Lord was saying to Joshua. When Joshua said, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" And that angel said, "Nay. But I'm come on behalf of God." And the question now to you, Joshua, is this. Are you for me from God's perspective? Of course, we know Joshua had the right response, didn't he? Fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" Amen. That's the attitude you have when you get on God's side. When you get on God's side. So that indirect question, it is a truly fascinating question. Often we look at our Jerichos. Remember, they're right there. Don't forget, this battle is laid out before Joshua. His human intellect, he's a man of war. He's fought battles. And he's looking at his Jericho. And as we look at our Jerichos in our lives, and by our own intellect and our own understanding, we chart a course to overcome and to conquer, all along inviting God to be with us, all along inviting God to bless us, all along inviting God to strengthen us on our journey. When I think you'll agree with me, it is of much greater importance that God not be on your side, that you be on God's side. This may be the reason why we suffer so many defeats. Amen? This may be the reason why we suffer so many defeats. It's because we've got it all up here, man. We know what we want. We're steadfast in it. We're strong-willed, if you will. And listen, strong-willed's good as long as it's directed the right way. But you become stubborn, and the Bible says that's as iniquity and as idolatry. And we get so set in our direction. And it may be the reason why we suffer so many defeats. We're striving to get the Lord to fix things on the way. To fix things the way we think they ought to be fixed. Amen? God, I just need that job. Lord, I just need that job. And our whole focus is on God. Give me that job. Lord, I got to have that job. Well, what happens when God doesn't want you to have that job? I just got to have that house. I've got to have that car. I've got to have that relationship. And Lord, you can do all things. And God, I know that you can provide it. And you can supply it. And you can make it happen. God, you're all powerful. Well, what if God doesn't want that for you? You see, we're going our direction and inviting God to be on our side when it's of greater value and importance that we place ourselves on the side of God and allow Him to lead. Amen. Allow Him to lead. To be in charge. To put ourselves in His care and under His leadership. So many struggling. Trying to make happen in their lives what it's very likely God does not want to happen. Then you're in a mess. What we need to do is to let go of the reins, amen? Let go of the reins and let God take charge. And you get on His side and follow His plan. I don't know what Joshua's plans were. Now put yourself in Joshua's place. Remember, we read the book, so we know kind of what's going on. But put yourself in Joshua's shoes, or shoe, amen? Put yourself in Joshua's place there. And there you are. You're looking at that mighty city of Jericho. And you know you're supposed to go in and overtake that city. And I don't know what Joshua had planned. I said earlier, there he is out by Jericho looking and determining what avenue of attack that he may take and possibly have met with other generals and other leaders in the nation of Israel and come up with various plans and various ways to attack that Jericho, to attack that Jericho giant. I don't know what his plans were. But I'd be willing to wager that his plans did not include marching once a day for 6 days with the Ark of the Covenant, with seven priests blowing trumpets, marching around Jericho once a day for 6 days, and then the master plan at the end, marching around it 7 days. I'd be willing to wager that wasn't part of his plan. But that's exactly what happened when he got on God's side. When he got on God's side. God took care of those battles. God took care of them. And yet when on God's side, these are the type of victories which can be won. You'll never go wrong when you make the decision to get off of your own side and get on God's side. So many times we suffer because we cling to our intellect. And there's not much faith in your intellect. It takes trusting God and trusting God's Word and knowing what the Lord wants. You know what I think about? I think about Abraham. I think about Abraham and Abraham did not get on God's side when he come up with the idea of having a child through his wife's handmaid. That wasn't God's side. And I think about David and his folly there with Bathsheba. He didn't consult with God, didn't determine whose side he was on. It was all about him and what he wanted. He wasn't on God's side. Think about those people mentioned in the book of Proverbs. The Bible says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. That's our side. That's the way we are. That's the way we see things. That could have been the way Joshua saw Jericho. The Bible says the end thereof are the ways of death. We got to get on God's side. It's more important that we put ourselves on God's side. I said you'll never go wrong when you make the decision to be on God's side. Now, the message is going to be, I got 3 points here, and then I'm going to be done. And then I'll pick up on this the next time. But I want you to consider some things. I hope you see the truth there that is presented to us. The angel there, that captain of the host of the Lord, determined to Joshua that I'm neither for you or for your adversaries. I come here on behalf of God. And the more pertinent question, Joshua, is, are you on my side? And Joshua made that decision. Well, think about it. I want you to consider, first of all, for tonight's thought, that when we make the decision to put ourselves on God's side, it includes some very wonderful things. It includes some very wonderful things. For instance, I wrote down in my notes, it includes God's authority. I like that. God's authority. God's authority. The Bible says in verse number 14, he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord. That's somebody in charge. That's somebody that has some power. That's somebody that has some ability. That's somebody who can call the shots. That's somebody with great authority. Why in the world would Joshua even attempt to go into Jericho under his own strength and under his own intellect, when he could have the very authority of God leading him? Why do we go out and attack our own Jerichos? When if we put ourselves on God's side, we'll have His authority working on our behalf. And what a great power that is. When I think about the authority of God, there the Bible says that that captain of the host of the Lord, that one in charge, that represents God's leadership. God's leadership. I put myself on God's side and I allow Him to lead, and He can do anything. He can fight the battles for me. On God's side, I realize the battle's not mine, but it's the Lord's. It's not mine, it's His. He's in charge. It's His authority. He's a captain. And so it's His leadership. Not only is it His leadership, but I think about His experience. His experience, man, He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, the omnipresent one. He has greater experience than I could ever imagine. He has greater experience than you could ever imagine. One of the tricks of Satan, or what makes Satan so powerful, is not his great power as much as it is his experience. Experience. But he doesn't outdo God in his experience. When we talk about putting ourselves on God's side, we have His authority because of His leadership, because of His experience, and because of His knowledge. Refer you again there to the book of Job, and I'll not go there, but Job 38 through the end of the chapter there, just on and on and on, we learn of how much God is aware that goes on in this world. Remember, this is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems also strong, God is the ruler yet. God is the ruler. When I put myself on God's side, when we put ourselves on His side, when we let go of the reins, when we stop trying to fight our own battles, and we put ourselves in the very hands of Almighty God, it includes His authority as captain of the host of the Lord. I see, secondly, that it includes His army. His army. Now, granted, there's probably a lot of warriors in that army of the Israelites. But again, I'd be willing to wager they couldn't touch the army of God. They couldn't touch that heavenly host. I'm reminded of that servant of the man of God, Elijah or Elisha, I don't remember now, as he looked out and saw the host of the Syrians coming at him. Oh, alas, Master, how shall we do? Man of God prayed, opened his eyes, and he saw then the host of heaven that surrounded the Syrians. An innumerable band, an innumerable army, a host of heaven. The Bible says, as captain of the host of the Lord. When we put ourselves in God's hand, not only do we receive, not only does it include His authority, but then we have His army that fights for us. Amen. Amen. You've heard me said before that if I have an enemy, the best the enemy of mine can hope for is that I retaliate. You know why? Because I'm fighting in my own strength. But if I let go and I put myself in God's hand, God can take care of all that. God can take care of all that. Why? Because He's got a host. He's got an old heavenly host that is well, well equipped and ready and able and willing to fight the battle. Bible says that we have ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. That's you and I. That's you and I. Why don't we take advantage of those? Why don't we stop trying to fight our own Jerichos? Why don't we stop trying to fight our own battles? Why don't we stop trying to take care of things in our own intellect and in our own wisdom? Put ourselves on God's side and let His angels, let His hosts fight the battles for us. Because, listen, we put ourselves on God's side. Not only do we have His authority, He said, but as captain, we have His army of the host of the Lord. Am I now come? When I think about His army, I think about His labors. I think not only is that those labors. Remember the vision of Jacob there as he dreamt or whatever he did there. Amen. The angels of God ascending and descending. You know, it doesn't come back and tell you much more about that. But we know, I guess from the New Testament, understand it, that that host of heaven at work on behalf of you and I. Praise God. Praise God. Man, put myself on God's side. Let Him fight. That's what Joshua did. Joshua said, listen, I had plans. I would have went for them. Now, they would have been risky, and I might have lost a lot of men in the process. The best thing I can do is fall down at the feet of this captain of the host of the Lord. Could have very well been Jesus Christ there. The reason I say that is because He did receive worship. Most angels would not receive worship. But here, this servant of God, this captain of the host of the Lord, was worshipped. Have God's authority. Have God's army. And then I see, thirdly, we have God's sovereignty. What I mean by sovereignty is just all that is in God's timing and God's purpose. Timing and purpose. Again, I refer to Abraham with this Hagar. It was God's will that Abraham have a child. It was not God's will that it be with Hagar. What was the issue then? He lacked God's sovereignty. God had time and purpose. I believe it's Galatians that tells us when the fullness of time was come. When the fullness of time was come, and that God has not only a time for every purpose, Ecclesiastes tells us, but there's a purpose for every time.
Right.
And we don't know what these things are.
Right.
And man, when we throw our intellect and our wisdom in most things, it's like a monkey wrench in the gears, and it's just going to create havoc. If we put ourselves on God's side and we allow God to work, God to lead, God to be sovereign, to bring about His will according to His timing, my goodness, that's how everything's going to work out perfectly. We have God's sovereignty. And I know it may not make sense to us. We're an active people. We want to be involved. And I think that's become our downfall. Because we don't know how to wait upon God. Let God do it. Man, I was reminded at that camp meeting, Brother Floyd Perry preached a message talking about the book of Acts, chapter number 1, and he said there they were, those Israelites, or the disciples there, and Jesus had appeared to them, and all, He'd talked to them, He had taught them, and worked with them, and communicated with them, and there at the end, and gave them the commission, you shall be witnesses unto me, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And boy, that great work there. And then he ascended up into heaven. And the angel said, why stand you here gazing? I would imagine that if there ever was a freshness of time to begin to go out into the harvest and win souls and tell about the Lord and get involved in the work of the Lord, it would have been right then. But you know what they were told to do? Go back and wait. 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 We don't like waiting. We don't like waiting. We're an impatient people. We're reminded, however, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And when we put ourselves on God's side, it includes God's authority. Now that means something. It involves and includes God's army, much stronger than you or I. And it includes God's sovereignty because it's going to bring about His will and His purpose at the perfect time. When it comes to God's authority and God's army and God's sovereignty, none of these do we possess. None of these. Unless we are on His side. Unless we're on His side. On His side. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, remember these words in verse number 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. There's Jeremiah, that great warrior, new leader of the nation of Israel. He's already crossed that Jordan River. He's standing there on the banks. There and gazing upon Jericho, that great city. How are we going to do it? I'll tell you how we're going to do it in Joshua's intellect. We have to bring a band around from this angle and we'll bring another from this angle. We'll attack the low parts. We'll attack the high parts. We'll get into that city like we've always done. We're going to go in. We're going to get the job done. He's got all that planned out and figured out. This is going to work. It's got to work. This is my plan. It's worked before. Until he saw that angel. Why? Because the Bible says that my thoughts, and that's talking about God, they're not your thoughts. Neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. got to understand that when we put ourselves on God's side, that oftentimes it's going to run contrary to our intellect. It often will. It's a very vulnerable place to be. But it's the very best place you can be.
Amen. That's right.
The very best place you can be. In closing tonight, remember, it is of greater importance not that God be on your side, but that you be on God's side. I want to ask you tonight, whose side are you on? Are you the type that have been accustomed to saying, Lord, go with me. Lord, go with me. Maybe tonight God spoke to you hard. Maybe you ought to reword that. Say, Lord, help me go with you. Lord, help me go with you. Help me go with you. Let's stand together, please. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. What about your Jericho giant? You got it all planned out? Maybe you're struggling.